And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The European Lutheran Conference, ELC, elected the Reverend Klaus Parlan as its new president on May the 24th. The election came on the final day of the ELC's 2014 conference held in Bleckmar, Germany. President Klaus Parlan has served as Dean of the Western District of Germany's Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church since 2010. He was first elected to the committee of the ELC in 2012 when he became Vice President. President Klaus continues to serve as pastor of the Lutheran Church in Essen, Germany. From 1987 to 2003, he worked in Botswana translating the Bible into the Kalanga language. Also elected to serve on the ELC's committee was the Reverend Leif Jensen as Vice President, and our very own Reverend George Samiach was re-elected to serve as Secretary. Reverend Samiach is Vice Chairman of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in England. He has served the last 8 years as Secretary for the ELC and also served a term as Vice President. A Lutheran pastor has become the latest victim of a painful mosquito-borne virus spreading quickly through the Caribbean, which is causing alarm in Haiti and neighboring Dominican Republic, where health officials are scrambling to respond to a surge of new patients. Richard Barber, a pastor at Advent Lutheran Church in Boca Raton, Florida, said, "There was a period of time that I couldn't walk, and when I could walk again, I was bent over." He believes he and another church volunteer contracted the virus after a trip to Haiti last week. Chikungunya, a virus more commonly found in Africa and Asia and transmitted by the same daytime biting Aedes aegypti mosquito that causes the more deadly dengue fever, was first detected in the Eastern Caribbean 5 months ago. Since then, it has jumped from island to island, sending thousands of patients to the hospital with painful joints, pounding headaches and spiking fevers. 7 deaths have been associated with the virus, but those people likely suffered from other health problems, health officials say. Chikungunya is normally not deadly and symptoms begin to dissipate within a week. The Pan American Health Organization reports more than 55,000 suspected and confirmed cases in the Caribbean. Officials say the number is likely much higher due to unreported cases. Florida health officials confirmed at least 3 cases, although Reuters is aware of at least 2 other unreported cases. In Haiti, where the virus was first detected earlier this month, the health ministry estimates 5,500 people have been sickened. "My 22-year-old son is brave, but now he's crying like a kid. His arms, his neck, his back and every part of his body is in pain," said Marco Dorival in Port-au-Prince. "There is no vaccine or treatment that can cure the virus. Paracetamol, an over-the-counter painkiller, is used to treat high fevers." World Health Organization representatives in Haiti said chikungunya will continue to spread as the mosquitoes breed in standing water and open water containers used in many Haitian homes that lack running water. 30-35% of the population will get sick, WHO representative Dr. Jean-Luc Poncelet said. The Dominican Republic's public health ministry suspects 14,000 cases. Both Haiti and the Dominican Republic said they would spray pesticides to kill mosquitoes and urge residents to destroy breeding grounds such as pools of standing water. With several Christians on trial in Pakistan awaiting potential death sentences for allegedly committing blasphemy, tensions are increasingly high across the nation, with a record-breaking amount of blasphemy charges being waged against both non-Muslims and Muslims alike. Commonly known as the blasphemy law, Pakistan's Penal Code Section 295C's death penalty went into effect in 1986 for the use of derogatory remarks in respect of the Islam's holy prophet. In 1990, the Federal Sharia Court ruled that the penalty should be a mandatory death sentence with no right to a pardon. On May the 17th, 3 cases of blasphemy were registered in different parts of the country. The first was against a small group of Jehovah's Witnesses arrested for handing out their organization's watchtower leaflets. The second was against a 20-year-old Muslim youth for allegedly setting the Quran, Islam's sacred book, on fire. And the third was against Pakistan's biggest media tycoon, Mir Shakil Rahman, a morning show host, a film actress and a husband, for allegedly airing a show with blasphemous content on the nation's GOTV morning show. The 4 Jehovah's Witnesses, Javed Yunus, his wife Nazia Javed, Sri Lankan national Carol David and Rose Mary were arrested for distributing Watchtower outreach leaflets in a Christian colony. Talking to a World Watch monitor, Jam Zafar, the senior superintendent of police at Pakistan Railways, said the distribution of Watchtower leaflets was noticed by a member of Ali Sunnat Wal Jamaat, ASWJ, considered one of the most violent organizations carrying out terrorist activities inside Pakistan, who responded by alerting other ASWJ activists to the scene, which resulted in the group of four being surrounded by hundreds of protesters. Zafar said the protesters were especially angry, so there was a fear of violence and bloodshed. Pastor Samson Shukardin said after the police had registered the case, they were unsure about Jehovah's Witnesses because they knew only about Protestant and Catholic branches of Christianity. The three women were released on bail, but Yunus was sent to jail. Zafar said that during the process, ASWJ had surrounded the police station. They seemed to have planned to halt the city and descend to violence, he said. On the same day, but 900 kilometers northeast, a 20-year-old Muslim youth allegedly set the Quran ablaze. In a fit of anger, Nazir Ahmed set the book on fire in Arifwala. His mother was furious and cried out for help. Neighbors gathered and started to beat him. He's reported to have been beaten so severely he was close to death, but police intervened and took Ahmed into custody. Elsewhere in Pakistan on the same day, the media tycoon Mir Shakir El Rahman, the morning show host Shasta Lodi, film actress Veena Malik and her husband Asad Katak Khan were charged with allegedly airing a blasphemous show on GOTV. 3 days before, GOTV's morning show had aired the reenactment of the actress Malik and her husband's marriage. During this reenactment, a Sufi song was sung that captures marriage between Ali, the fourth caliph of Islam, and Islamic prophet Muhammad's daughter Fatima. Presenting Malik as a bride while the religious song was played infuriated many Pakistanis. The Magala police station registered a case against them under the blasphemy and anti-terrorism laws. The Sunni Ittehad Council, an organization that represents 160 million Pakistan Sunni Muslims, separately started a petition on Saturday against the TV show presenters in the Supreme Court. The country does have some natives who are trying to fight the abuse of blasphemy prosecution at the risk of their own lives. On May the 7th, a prominent human rights lawyer, Rashid Rehman, representing a teacher accused of blasphemy in Multan, about 550 kilometers southwest of Islamabad, was murdered. Rehman is the first lawyer to be killed for taking on a blasphemy case. How do you make your community more child-friendly? That's the challenge being set by the Christian charity Viva as it organises its Global World Weekend of Prayer campaign for children at risk on the 7th to 8th of June. Hundreds of thousands of Christians from over 40 nations are expected to gather in prayer marches, church services, conference centres and special events to pray for vulnerable children. The theme for this year's 2014 World Weekend of Prayer is Child-Friendly Communities, and Viva is calling on Christians to pray that marginalised children will be loved and protected, that leaders will be wise in creating policies and that churches would have a heart for children in their communities. According to the UN in the world today, over a third of all births are not registered. 115 million children are engaged in hazardous child labour. 61 million primary age children don't go to school, and 275 million witness domestic violence each year. Andrew Dubok, Viva's communication manager, says, "We're encouraging Christians, wherever they are that weekend, whether in homes, churches, Sunday schools or youth groups, to join us in turning to God together in prayer for a change of attitude and action by communities towards their children." During last year's campaign, over 141,000 Christians prayed in 24 languages, with about half of all participants in the weekend aged under 18 years, including vulnerable children themselves. Events included praying with policemen in Bolivia, prayer walking in India, and tying prayers to gates in South Africa. In Mwanza, Tanzania, 14-year-old Rahima said, "I have been living with my grandmother since my parents' divorce, and the prayers for broken families help to bring love and compassion to children like me. Today I realize that the church is a carer of everybody, of a child, orphan, and those living at risk." the leader of a Methodist church in Hyderabad, India, described the event as having touched people's hearts, adding, "Many strong families have made a commitment to remember struggling families during their daily prayers." David Morgan of Mumbles Baptist Church in South Wales says, "We know that God answers prayer and feel privileged to join with brothers and sisters around the world. We have children here in Mumbles in great need, and every church in the UK has such children too. We need to cry out to the Lord and seek His will for us." The World Weekend of Prayer is organised by Viva, an international Christian charity, working with supporters and partner networks to inspire lasting change in children's lives through the power of collective action. Last year, it helped nearly 1 million children in 20 countries. Children will be blocked from watching online pornography under UK government plans to force website owners to obtain proof that users are aged over 18. The new age checking system will be introduced for UK-based porn websites by the end of this year if Parliament passes rules being drawn up in Whitehall. ATVOD, an industry regulator, estimates that 200,000 children under 15 view extreme adult material each month. The new system would require users to provide credit card details or official records to prove that they are 18 or over. Websites failing to comply could be blocked in the same way as access is denied to sites hosting child pornography. Uganda and Kenya authorities have scaled up security in recent days in responding to warnings from Western countries that a jihadist group is planning to attack churches in Uganda. The US Embassy in Uganda warned that churches there may face specific threats from Al-Shabaab, a Somalia-based militant Islamic terrorist group. The threats against the two East African countries are said to be due to each having peacekeeping troops in Somalia. All the churches have been informed. The anti-terrorist police and police board in Uganda are providing security to the churches. There are further efforts to inform the people on what the explosives may look like so that people can identify them. "We are especially concerned about the situation based on what we have seen happening in Kenya," the Reverend Meek Burungi of World Shine Ministries told World Watch Monitor during the International Convention on Healing of the Nation last week. On May the 21st, a grenade attack a few meters from the mosque in Garissa, close to the Kenyan border with Somalia, is believed to have killed one and injured 11. No one yet has claimed responsibility. On May the 16th, 10 people were reported killed and more than 70 people injured in Gikomba, a market in the capital city, Nairobi. 3 people died and 86 were injured during a twin blast on May the 5th along Kenya's busy Thika Highway. Some Western countries such as Great Britain, the United States, France and Australia have issued travel advisories concerning Kenya based on the threats from Al-Shabaab. British tourists in particular have abandoned travel plans to Kenya or have returned home. And finally, a chilling story of a lorry driver who was angered when inspectors found irregularities with his refrigerated cargo. He shut 2 inspectors in the back and took them on a long, cold ride. Sanitary Control Inspector Valeria Aguirre said the ordeal began after a routine inspection of a refrigerated lorry found that the food inside was not being stored at an acceptable temperature, and the inspectors told the driver they were going to retain his cargo, described as desserts. Ms. Guerra said she and another inspector called colleagues who contacted police, and the lorry was intercepted after about 2 miles. The inspectors were rescued, safe but shivering, and the driver was arrested. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.